Hello and welcome to Power of the Parent, the podcast. This series is a new format and we are going to be focusing on a different topic each week, bringing you three things you need to know about whatever that may be, mainly from an employer perspective. But of course, there's plenty of reframing that parents could do to benefit from the content as well. We will be covering everything from parental leave transitions, managing boundaries, what to do when your talent pipeline looks a bit dodgy, tips on gathering feedback, and things like establishing parental support networks. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Power of the Parent, three things you need to know about. Today I am joined by a guest. Sherry King is a mum, a founder of the Sandwich Generation Support and a carer. After an impressive career in the NHS, Sherry found herself staring down the realities of being a parent, a carer and juggling a career. Sandwich Generation Support is all about blending support for individuals with the very real need to create thriving workplaces. When you're caring for aging family, having an employer who knows that you can still do a brilliant job, but there might need to be some white knuckle moments navigated. It's a game changer to know that you won't be defined by your caring responsibilities. And that is exactly what Sherry is doing in the way that she's partnering with organisations to really transform the experience for those who do become a sandwich generation carer. So thank you so much for joining me today, Sherry. I'm really excited to chat with you. The three things that Sherry's going to be covering are number one, what the sandwich generation is and how it feels to be in it. Number two, how people in the sandwich generation can support themselves. And number three, the costs of ignoring them in the workplace. And I'm suspecting there will be some stats along the way. So for those of you that love a number or are often charged with writing business cases, please do listen in. So I'm going to hand over to Sherry to take us through the first point. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Charlotte. And thanks for that. And yes, definitely pens and papers at the ready for the stats that are coming up throughout the podcast today. But thanks for inviting me today. And I think the first thing we were going to talk about was what the sandwich generation is and then how it feels to be in it. So in terms of what it is, I think a lot of people don't actually realise that it's a thing and that they're in it. So it's very much people who are looking after or caring for their parents or elderly relatives. They might also have children as well. And the sandwich generation is the person in the middle of this, in the sandwich. So they've got responsibilities for elderly parents or relatives, and they're balancing that with the demands of life, plus possibly children as well. And they're squeezed in the middle of that. And it typically tends to be people in their sort of late 30s to mid 50s. And it actually impacts, first stat at the ready, 9% of the UK population. So that's over 6 million people right now are currently balancing life with looking after parents or elderly relatives. That's crazy. So how does it feel? So I'm going to answer that firsthand, first of all, because I've been there and I've lived it. And this is why I care about this. So briefly, my career was 21 years in the NHS and I've got three primary school age children. And in 2019, my life was transformed when my mum was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And to say it was tough is an absolute understatement. So I got a national job, three children, and my eldest was six at the time. And then also supporting my dad and my mum through what they were going through as well. And for me personally, it felt a lonely and isolating place. So nobody talked about it at all, and certainly not in work, it wasn't mentioned. So I spent a lot of time initially on Google trying to work out what was out there, what I should be doing to support them, Googling anything from can you drive after a dementia diagnosis to what kind of medication, anything at all to just be practically to be able to help. And then I also felt I wanted some emotional support because it was emotionally draining. Trying to do all this. For me, I found it exhausting and overwhelming. So I reached out to try and get some emotional support, but I was told at the time that there was nothing there for me because I wasn't the main carer. So I felt like my whole world had been literally turned upside down. It impacted every single bit of my life. And you just genuinely can't imagine until you're in it. It impacts everything. But that my role in all of this of supporting just wasn't valued and I wasn't heard and I wasn't seen at all. So that's how I felt. My mum sadly died at the end of 2022, But I'd by that point got a bee in my bonnet to do something about this, which is why I've now set up Sandwich Generation Support to raise awareness about that and start conversations. But everybody's experience is different. And I work with lots of people who are in the sandwich generation. And there are three words I would say that keep coming up a lot around how people feel about sandwich generation and being in it. The first one is guilty, and it's about trying to be everything to everyone. Like they're not giving enough, they can't give enough to the parents, they can't give enough to the children, they can't give enough to work, they can't give enough to life, everything like that. And so guilt is a massive feeling that lots of people feel in the sandwich generation. Another one is overwhelm, and it's like lots of people, particularly through coaching, have been talking around that they're at capacity and literally anything else that you add in, they can't deal with. Anything small, it could be any little change, you know, like a different time at pickup for school or anything at all, and they just can't add any more in because they're overwhelmed. So it really is, you are right on the edge of what you can cope with. And the third word would be exhausted, that the physical and mental impacts resulting from the constant juggling, basically. And another super stat coming up here, 33% of people in the sandwich generation feel that their mental health is significantly affected. And this has come up in recent research as well. In 2025, in January, at UCL, Dr. Shuey published a report which shows that there's a massive deterioration in mental and physical health for sandwich carers, particularly things like concentrating and sleeping, and also sort of the physical side of things, body pain and general health problems. So there are lots of different ways and feelings and complex things going around how it feels to be in the sandwich generation, and everybody's different and got their own experience.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that, and obviously in particular your own individual story there. I think those words that you shared are really impactful to hear. And I think whenever I hear things like that, I suppose I have a little beacon of hope in that because we have these conversations and because organizations like yours exist, it doesn't have to be that way. And some of those stats and some of that emotional and physical exhaustion and the mental health taking a nosedive, it doesn't have to be as steep, I don't think, because if we have the right support in place, we're not saying that we're going to be able to completely get rid of it because we're dealing with humans, not robots. So there's always going to be emotional reactions to things. And I suppose that's a bit of a misconception, isn't it? The aim isn't to completely remove these reactions and outcomes. But it's certainly to try and make it feel better for people, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's about making sure that people have got the right targeted support in place from people who actually get it, who understand it, and are able to support that. You're not going to take away some of those feelings, but it's about owning those feelings and feeling those feelings and knowing that that's okay, and then having that support in place to be able to manage doing what you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just from an employer perspective, that's something that I would immediately be taking away from this. It's not a case of you're going to solve everything, that you're going to be able to make everything 100% better for somebody who is part of that sandwich generation, but it is about giving them the best possible chance to have a career, as well as the fact that they might have caring responsibilities.
It absolutely is. That was found in the UCL research again in January around the very strong need for targeted support and resources there. It's absolutely crucial for employers to do something about it and to provide that support.
I'm going to snag a link to that UCL research that Sherry's talking about, and I'll pop it in the show notes. So, for ease of access, it will be in there. Now, the second thing that you are going to talk to us about is how people in the sandwich generation can actually support themselves. And I would love to hear more about that, please.
I think it's such a big issue, this, and thanks so much for raising it, because let's be real, we've just talked about what it feels like, and you certainly don't have a lot of time when you're in the sandwich generation juggling all this stuff. So the tendency is to keep going and keep going and keep going and pushing through. But what actually happens, and I found out from personal experience and from all the people I've worked with, is that you end up in a heap and you can't keep going, and you're no good then for anybody. So you have to look after yourself. And I know people go, oh God, as soon as you say it, you're going to hear the groans from anybody listening. But actually, It's so important. And I'm going to start actually by using the words of Davina McCall, who you might or might not know, looked after her dad who had Alzheimer's disease and she cared for him. And her big learning that she says was that you have to care for yourself before you care for others. And it's so true. So, for instance, and now for me, it's all about the little things I think that have really helped people in the sandwich generation. So I'm not talking about big, you must, I mean, it would be lovely if you could go for a walk on a Sunday afternoon and really re-energize and things, but actually it's little things. So things like when you're making your cup of tea in the morning, can you do some stretching while the kettle boils? Actually, then you're getting your body moving, you're getting the endorphins going, and you're just starting your day in a way that actually you're doing something for you while you're boiling the kettle. Or when you're driving to work, or you're in the train or the bus, can you put on a podcast? You know, that's something like for guided meditation, if you're wanting calm, or something that makes you laugh. Or for me, it's always the cheesy music that comes through here. And blasting out a bit of Take That on the motorway, on the way to meetings and things, really does help you to reset your brain and just gives you that time to just not be thinking about the sandwich generation just for 5 minutes. And then there's little things during the day you can do when you're at work as well. And things like breathing. So, can you just do the box breathing stuff? So, breathing in for four and then out for four. And it really does help you to reset your body. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, it helps you to concentrate again. So, things like that, nobody will know you're doing it while you're sat at your desk. Nobody at all knows what you're doing. You're just breathing. But actually, you're just thinking about yourself at the same time. And little things like that throughout your day will add up to actually helping you to support yourself. But the second thing I'd want to think about, I suppose, in terms of supporting yourself is in terms of you as part of your family. And I'm going to get a bit practical now. So things like, have you got a shared calendar? So for me, it was making sure I knew when my mum's appointments were. And we'd got a calendar. So my dad knew what was happening in terms of he could see when I was at work and when I wasn't at work. I knew when the appointments were. And then I could support him either beforehand or I could go to appointments or all those kind of things. And just having that oversight to be able to track appointments is a real game changer. Or shared list of medication. Again, going to the chemist and to go and pick up a prescription and going, oh, does it react with any of the medications they're on? And if you don't know what they're on, or you go to a hospital appointment and they say, oh, what are you on? And if you have that information readily to hand, it really does make such a difference and helps to support yourself and to support your family while you're in the sandwich generation. So there are things like that. And then the other part of the jigsaw that I've been thinking around in terms of supporting yourself in the sandwich generation is supporting yourself in work. Because let's be real here, you take your whole self to work. You know, you don't switch off suddenly at 9 o'clock or whatever time you start work in the morning, you don't suddenly not become a son or daughter or a parent or anything else. It's all there with you. So actually, there's something about how you support yourself in work. And knowing that one in five or 21% of the workforce at least are juggling working with caring for parents is a massive thing. You know, it's huge. That's one in five people sat in your office, in your desk at home, whatever else. So you're not alone, even if it feels that way. So in terms of supporting yourself in work, I think the biggest thing, if it's safe, is to be open with your manager about what's going on. And having that relationship and that ability to be able to chat to them about what you're juggling, to tell them what you need, and just so that they're aware. So things that happen, I was in a board meeting and suddenly the phone flashed and it was my dad's number. And the fact that I literally walked out of that board meeting because my dad had rung and was able to take that call, and then I needed to leave and whatever else. And I felt able to do that because I'd had that conversation and that understanding was there. And if you haven't said that or not able to do that, which very many people I know aren't, then it's a game changer there. And think little other little things like being able to take a proper lunch break, just something where you can go because people understand, or flexibility around delivering deadlines, and just that understanding there is a real game changer in terms of getting that support and supporting yourself while you're in work.
I mean, I love a practical tip. So there's a lot in there that I think it's really refreshing to have that conversation, because I think one of the things that comes to my mind with these conversations is that common sense isn't always common practice. So whilst things like saying, have a shared calendar, let somebody know when you're going to be at work, have the medication lists, I think sometimes we hear those things and we think, well, yeah, obviously, but it's just not obvious, because that kind of decluttering of our brain in those initial stages takes a bit of work itself, doesn't it? But once you've actually done that, once you've got to that, it can help oodles and oodles. And I think a lot of what you were describing, the picture it conjured up, you know, talking about box breathing, doing some stretching, a lot of this is tied to our nervous system, isn't it? And if we are in this constant sort of fight, flight or freeze because we're waiting for a phone call, or we know that we've got the responsibility of caring for whether that's children or elderly relatives or anybody in between, your brain is in a different situation, isn't it? Because you are waiting for the next thing sometimes. So just the fact that we can drop our shoulders, let our brain know that we are safe, that we aren't necessarily going to get that phone call, and actually life can coexist. That's a really powerful gift, I think, to give to ourselves. And perhaps we don't always realize that we can do that. And it's not suddenly that all the bad things are going to happen because we stop thinking about it 100% of the time. That's not the thing that's, you know, going to help, really, is it?
No, totally. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely spot on with the fight, flight or freeze part of it there. It's like you're constantly in the sandwich generation on high anxiety, on high alert, just waiting for something. And actually, as you say, being able to think about your body and to do those things to help it to relax by putting your shoulders down, all the rest of it really does make a difference.
So hopefully people are listening to this and they're all of a sudden going to start doing some box breathing and dropping their shoulders by a few inches.
It's made me drop my shoulders.
So the final point that we're going to talk about is a very workplace focused one, and the cost of ignoring that sandwich generation for workplaces. So talk me through the realities there.
Yeah, this is a biggie, as you say, particularly and for workplaces. It's a game changer, I think. So what happens if you ignore it? So you've got your 21% of staff who are going through this, who are feeling all these things. What happens? So stats are showing you get increased absence, increased sickness. So people are taking time off as they're feeling that stressed and that burnt out. And 24% of the sandwich generation are taking time off work due to care and responsibilities. So the absence rates are going to go up. What also happens for organisations is your productivity goes down. Your mind's elsewhere. It's understandably absolutely filled with caring responsibilities, financial pressures, emotional strain, all of that combined. And you're trying to work as well. And actually, over 20% of sandwich generation workers admit that they're less productive at work because of their caring responsibilities. So it really does impact the productivity there. And the third thing, which always, this is a super stat that scares me, 600 people leave their job every day due to caring responsibilities. Now, just thinking about that, that's huge, because they're unable to continue the juggling so much that they need to leave. That's 600 people every day. So that is a huge thing. So that's the impact, the sort of cost in terms of people, but there's also financial costs attached to all of this. And Age UK have done some research to show that the UK loses £5.3 billion every year because people are leaving their jobs to do caring because they're not supported in work. And actually, if they were supported in work, that would make such a difference and people would be able to stay and to work differently and better. So it's absolutely so, so important to support the sandwich generation. So thinking then about how you might do this. Okay, so I would say the first thing of how you support people and don't ignore them is to actually acknowledge it and name it. Say it, actually, and have a culture where you talk about it. And just having that within itself starts to create a place where people feel able to talk and able to speak up and able to be honest about what's going on for them and have those conversations. Then there's sort of the policy infrastructure side of things. So there's things like flexible working and making that standard. So offering genuine flexibility around hours, around location. So not just policies, whatever, but actually, does it happen? Is it encouraged? Is it role modeled by leaders? All that kind of thing. So are people able to do the school run and then come in? Can they go out for a hospital appointment? Because all these things while you're in the sandwich generation happening in the middle of the day. So you've got to be able to have that flexibility to manage all that stuff. And working from different locations, you know, I was supporting somebody at the moment who he lives in Leeds and his parent lives 3 hours away in Shropshire. And how on earth do you manage that without having to spend time there? All that kind of thing. So there really is something around flexibility. Then there's something, again, employers can help in terms of looking at the carers leave policy. And they introduced the Carers Act last year, but actually, a year on, 56% of working carers are unable to access that 5 days right to unpaid carers leave because of the financial implications of doing so. So even though that's in place, what can organisations do to help people to access those rights and have the finances to be able to do that? And then there's stuff people can do, a biggie here that we've alluded to at the beginning of the podcast, but coming back to is around manager training. And I know you've had quite a few of your podcasts, Charlotte, been around this kind of thing. But, you know, it's the 67% of people leave their job, or even more, I think I've seen stats, because of their manager. And the CIPD really emphasises the importance of training managers to support carers effectively. Going back to that UCL research, it's around targeted support and that side of things. So equipping your managers to be able to have the conversation, to know what's going on, to understand it, particularly if you've not been there as a manager, it's really hard to know what to do and how to do that. So people don't have the conversation. So it really is important to train and make sure that that helps then in terms of awareness and culture and all that side of things. And then the other things people can do in organisations to support so that you don't have the costs is around the emotional and practical support. So again, 86% of carers said that they value mental health support. Or you can also create peer networks. So again, people have got places where they feel that they can come and talk within the workplace. So it really is that targeted support and resources.
That all sounds utterly brilliant. I think we all know that the realities in the day-to-day workplace between lived experience and policies can be so different, but it just doesn't have to be that way, does it? And we can have really brilliant policies that are great in practice. And I think the line manager point is so important. And I think we are definitely at a stage where it can feel really hard to be a line manager. It can sometimes feel like you have got to be all things to all people and know the answers to everything immediately and know your policies inside out. It doesn't come without a stress and the pressure in itself. But I think one of the things that we just don't talk about is how transferable a lot of these strengths and skills are for line managers. It doesn't have to be a case of very targeted linear development for them. Some of these things that we're talking about that can make a real difference to a sandwich generation carer are the same style of conversation that could also help somebody who is going through a particularly tough time at home because of another situation or because you're a parent or whatever it might be. At the basis of it, it's about great communication and brilliant conversations. You don't have to have first-hand experience, in my opinion, to be able to sit and listen to somebody. And you're not going to understand firsthand if you're not a carer yourself. But that's okay. You can't bend and stretch and suddenly go, right, I'm a line manager. I have now got to go and be a carer as well so that I understand what my team are going through. It doesn't have to be like that, does it? It can be as simple as listening, understanding, be curious, ask some great questions. And I suppose, you know, leave yourself feeling empowered just as much as you do your own team.
No, absolutely. I think as a line manager, and just cutting all of this back, it's about people and it's about relationships. At the end of the day, that's what all of this is about. And it's about supporting people in the workplace to be able to do the best that they can do so that they're able to manage the rest of their lives appropriately. And it's how you can support managers so that they can support their staff to do that.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for all of that incredible practical insight and for sharing the realities that perhaps some people, we just don't know because we're not in it. And I think that's really powerful. And hopefully what this triggers at the very least for people is to go and talk to their organizations and understand what is the makeup of your employees and staff and understand who has got those care and responsibilities and actually understand what you're already doing really well. So sometimes we don't see the good stuff. I really love to start with my own clients by saying, where are the good bits? What can we build on? What already works for your organization and your organization's culture? So a bonus little tidbit there for you. But I will leave all of Sherry's details in the show notes. There will be a link to her website. And I guess people can come find you on LinkedIn as well, Sherry.
Yes, absolutely. I'm there as Sherry King and also as Sandwich Generation Support. So be lovely to get some more followers and to get a chat going.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Please do check out the show notes for all of the materials and resources that Sherry's mentioned today. And if you have any questions for her, please do get in touch directly with her. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week with another new episode of Three Things You Need to Know About. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Power of the Parent, the podcast. If you have got a few spare minutes, who am I kidding? Of course you haven't got a few spare minutes, but if you would like to choose to spend a few of your minutes giving me any sort of review or rating, I would massively appreciate it. It does help other people find it, and it also lets me know that I'm hitting the spot with listeners. For more free resources, you can head to the show notes, where you'll find a link to the Power of the Parent website, or do head on over to LinkedIn and give me a follow. Search Charlotte Speak and my grinning face should pop up. Until next time, take care.